Hello and welcome. We're back with another episode of Intuitive Conversations. I'm Tamara Franz.
And I'm Chantal Nufo.
And today we thought we might give you some insight and a sort of inside look at what a session with Chantal might be like. Chantal is a hypnotherapist. And although hypnotherapy is becoming more well known, there are still a lot of people who have some misconceptions and misunderstandings and just curiosity about hypnotherapy.
Yes,
So,
indeed.
is there anything for starters you want to say, Chantel, about what hypnotherapy is? And
Well, I'm
just
not going to say what it's not because there's a lot of things that it's not. And I mean, everyone's got their own different misconception, and I couldn't possibly even cover them all on one podcast. So I am very open to questions. If you have had an experience with, let's say, stage hypnosis, I'll go ahead and say it's nothing at all like that. And
Okay.
the most important thing to know about hypnotherapy is that it really puts you in the driver's seat. It really gives the client the control, all of the control. Like, I'm someone who really wants to keep control so much that I don't get drunk. Like, I didn't drink for New Year's Eve. And it's not that a holier than thou sort of a thing. It's that I really just prefer to always be, have my wits about me. And I, with hypnotherapy, when I'm the client, I feel like I have more control of myself than otherwise, if that makes sense. Just because I have access to my subconscious and the subconscious mind is in control 90 some percent of the time. So,
That's great. That dispels probably one big misconception is that if I go for hypnotherapy, I'm going to be put in a trance, I'm going to be put under, and who knows what the therapist is going to ask me or get me to do that I won't remember afterwards.
there's been several of my clients that I don't even know what their issue is, like for the whole time, like when the session is over, I don't know what their issue is, but they've been helped because I just give vague questions and they just give vague answers, but all the inner work is being done by them and they've had a lot of help from it. So it's not one of the hypnotherapy is not a therapy where you go and spill your guts and spill your secrets. It's not at all like that. If you wish to, you can. And I'll keep the confidentiality, but it's just a different form of therapy.
Yeah, and it makes me think that what you're saying tells me hypnotherapy is really a way of harnessing your own inner powers of healing, your own subconscious powers of healing, so that you're not going to somebody who's going to perform something on you and fix you. You're going to activate your own powers of healing and through the power of imagination and the subconscious.
I mean, that's so much a misconception about the fixing you that people think that hypnosis is this magic cure that, it's going to make me stop smoking or whatever their thing is. But in reality, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis, and the hypnotherapist can't do anything for you. All of the changes are done in your own mind, whichever changes you want to make, whether it be ideology or habits or blocks that you want to reframe, whatever it may be, all changes are done by you, the client.
So, if I was somebody who was really struggling to deal with some kind of a personal issue or a blockage, or well, maybe for starters, tell us what are some of the typical things that people do articulate that they come to you for to work on with hypnotherapy?
Well, people come to get rid of their fears. I mean, not to dispel fear altogether because some fear is healthy, but to get over breakups, like to get over guilt, to, even the fear of flying, like just all sorts. Like
Oh, yes.
people come with all sorts of different things. And usually the outer problem that they come for is not necessarily the root problem, but through our conversation and the hypnosis, we get to the root problem or the source event and then heal that. And then because that's healed, then the outer one is just automatically taken care of.
So if I come to you, and I'm thinking typically you do a lot of your sessions through Zoom,
Yeah, all of
remotely
them
with
now.
people all over the place. So from the time that we both log into a Zoom call, how might a session unfold with you?
Well, we would talk just like you and I are talking right now. I basically just want to know what's bothering them, what's their issue. If they are like in the midst of a panic attack, like some people have come for emergency sessions where they're in a panic attack. So then we just go, I just dive right into the imagery, because if someone is already so emotional, they're already in trance. You don't need any kind of induction. But most of the time people come and they're like, yeah, I made the appointment last week when I was struggling, and I'm not struggling as much anymore, but I still would like to have this issue resolved for me. So they tell me about their issue, or I write it down. And usually as they're talking, like it's kind of like an arrow pointing to one particular direction, like, oh, okay, so there's something, with your dad that we need to, work out. And so then I kind of make a note of the different tools that we could possibly use in the journey and go into the journey. Some people like kind of know ahead of time, like if I've trained with them or whatever, and they're coming for let's say timeline therapy, then I go ahead and do that, the timeline therapy that we were both trained in, because that's what they wanted. But recently I've just been doing their own inner landscape. So we start at the top of the hill, count down from 10 to 1, go to the bottom of the hill, and then just see what they see. And different things, whether it be a person or a house or a castle or a plant on the beach, anything can symbolize. It's all about metaphors and symbols and transforming them. And yeah, we just kind of go with the flow and see what means what.
It must be fascinating to see how the imagery unfolds for people and what shows up. Do you have clients who are surprised
Oh,
at
yeah.
what comes up in their imagery?
Well, a lot of people have an idea beforehand of, okay, this is my problem and this is what I think will fix it. But everyone is surprised of kind of where they go back to or what was the actual problem. Because it's subconscious. We don't know it. It's not conscious, not in our awareness. And the way to access the subconscious is through this, I have all these things popping into my mind now of all the different ways to say it. It's basically a state of relaxed focus is what I work with. So meditation, deep breathing, people can get to this relaxed state, and people are in this relaxed state of hypnosis every day when they go to sleep, when they wake up, when they're driving relaxed, when they're just chilling, watching Netflix, they're in a trance. So people think it's this odd magical thing, but it's not. It's something. It's a feeling that they're very used to.
And you get the people who say, oh, I can't be hypnotized, or my mind is too strong, or I'm just too skeptical. Or what do you do with the people who are curious and want to
Oh.
try, but at the same time have that real resistance of it won't work with me, or I can't
Oh.
relax enough, or
Yeah, well, it's often the case where there's resistance. In fact, people sometimes cancel their appointment right before because there's so much resistance, right? And I love IFS parts therapy, internal family systems, because it deals with protectors like that. And you can just use talk therapy with those different protectors and see what's up, get to know them, understand them, appreciate their efforts in trying to keep you safe. And yeah. I use parts therapy if that comes about.
that's great.
Yeah, you asked something before that I was going to touch on, and now I'm trying to remember what it is. Oh yeah, you said, what do people do if they say I can't be hypnotized, or I'm not a visual person? So I'll do it with you right now, just for like half a minute. Go ahead and close
Okay.
your eyes. Pretend in front of you're at the kitchen table, you have a cutting board and you have a lemon and a knife. So go ahead and just cut that lemon in half. That's right. And take one half of the lemon and squeeze out a little bit of juice and just bring it up to your nose. Just take a whiff of that and just
I
lick
was
it.
smelling it already
Yeah,
when I
lick
sliced it
it. Go
open.
ahead and lick that lemon.
Ooh, I can
And
taste
how,
it.
yeah, and how bright is that lemon, or what does it look like to you?
It's a beautiful bright yellow, and the smell of lemons to me is a smell of happiness because it makes me think of Italy and the Amalfi Coast and limoncello and just being free and happy. On holidays. So I love lemons to me are like sunshine.
Awesome. Let's go ahead and open your eyes. And so did you see like the places that you were describing
Oh, I
or
did. Yeah. Yeah.
so, and you don't consider yourself a visual person?
I do consider myself a visual person. But a person that has a hard time letting go of, I think the rational mind.
Yeah,
So I can
gotcha.
totally visualize, but I think my mind is always looking for that confirmation that this experience came from something beyond me, right? It wasn't just my brain putting in
So it's
these.
like you're wanting to pop in a DVD and watch the DVD and like it's totally from out there. And so a lot of people don't realize that it's all from our imagination, but that's
Yeah.
real.
Yeah,
Like
I think that it's all about validating the inner experience, right? And it's, I mean, there's that tendency to just say, oh, I'm making this up. I'm making this up. This is wishful thinking.
But that's you're doing it right then if you're
Yeah.
making it up. Like
Right.
it's not a fact
Yeah.
finding mission, the timeline therapy. People think, oh, I'm doing regression or past life stuff. It's not about facts at all. It's about your subconscious mind's idea of what happened. For example, if you had been told stories about your birth and, if you had been told a story, for example, that, you were a surprise child or, different things,
Yeah.
you have an idea of what your parents were going through when, you were you were in the womb or whatever. So it's more about the subconscious mind's idea of things. And another way of saying this is, well, I have a lot of siblings. And so we have had a lot of shared experiences with the same parents. Like the same event has happened, but we remember it differently. It's
Yeah.
because our subconscious mind, it's well, the mind is a meaning-making machine. So it puts meaning on different things and it certain things about the event stand out to us, whereas the other one would forget that, right? So we're all experiencing life differently, even though we're saying the same words, participating in the same event.
Yeah. And I feel like the mind too is kind of a curator of our outer limitations or upward limitations and what we believe is possible or not. I'm thinking about just in a book that I was reading recently, and it talked about Roger Bannister, who was the first man to run, was it the 4-minute mile? And for I think over a century, it had been believed impossible for anyone to run a mile in that time frame. And he managed it, but the really remarkable thing about it is that within 6 months, dozens of people had replicated that.
Wow.
So it was almost like something was seen as possible, and then bam, reality shifted and a whole new possibility opened up. So I feel like, that is such a big part of hypnotherapy work is just working with the subconscious mind to redefine what's possible and get past the boundaries and limits that we've set around ourselves.
And other athletes, like Olympic athletes, all the time use hypnosis and imagery to visualize what they're intending to do, like either winning the medal, crossing the finish line, running, like they go through all the paces in their mind, visualizing it.
And your brain doesn't know the difference. The parts of your brain that are stimulated when you do the actual activity are the parts of your brain that are stimulated when you're visualizing and doing the, working with the imagery, which is really fascinating.
Yeah, like it's similar to going to the theater, watching a movie. Like, there's a camera there, and that the people didn't really have a sad thing happen to them. They're acting, but yet we cry as we watch. So you're right. The mind doesn't know the
Yeah.
difference. If you get totally immersed in that trance and you're just imagining that this is real and you're just caught up in it, and people love
Yeah.
that.
I feel like the minute we finally accept that we're so much more than what is held in the sack of skin is the moment when hypnotherapy will really take off and people will realize that this is a gentle, safe, supported way to just reconceive of who you are and what you're capable of.
Yeah,
Is there,
because, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, is there a story or two that you can think of in the work that you've done that just kind of illustrates what's possible with hypnotherapy?
So many. I have so many clients. Like, I made a list the other day and there was just hundreds of people on there and they've all been helped. And it's so exciting. I don't know. I'll just go with my own experience. 'Cause I'm on a journey just like everyone else. And when you level up, there's always like another thing to uncover, another thing to heal. And so I like going to different therapists, or, you know, sometimes go to the same one. I've had sessions with you, with guided imagery. I love to explore any kind of subconscious healing modality. And what it's done for me is to allow me to go back and talk about traumas of the past without me feeling that trigger in my body, without feeling panic, without bursting into tears, without feeling that like really tightness in my stomach or start shaking. Like, I used to have all of these physical responses when I talked about my past traumas. And now I don't have any of those. I don't necessarily talk about my traumas all the time just because I don't want to traumatize someone else, because they're, you know, if they would have a similar experience, then they would experience that in their body. Don't want to do that. But I'm just saying that the reason that I fell in love with hypnotherapy is because it helped me so much. It gave me freedom to be able to speak again, to be able to live my life in freedom without just feeling so heavy in my body and my spirit, weighed down by guilt and shame and fear. And I mean, it's not like I don't experience negative emotion. I do, but I don't feel like it lives within me, you know, like that it's stuck energy. I feel like when I come across a negative emotion or event, it can flow through me and out, and it's gone.
Yeah. I think that is one of the beautiful things about hypnotherapy, is getting the imagery moving and the energy with it. If I think about sessions I've done over the years, and most of my clients have been women, sooner or later, if they go through a process, if they do several sessions, eventually they will meet themselves in some kind of a royal, I call it a royal personhood, like where they are in a castle, or they're wearing a tiara, or they are in a situation where they feel like a queen or a princess. And to me, that says every one of us has that royal personhood within us, that we've been taught to be so small. And that sooner or later, and I work with music, the music will bring that out of you, that no, you are so much more than you believe. And often within this imagery, they will be celebrated. There will be a group of wise women around them, or monks or priests, or somehow the music brings up this community of people who validate that identity within them. And they realize that they are so much more than they knew, or they have...
they're so much more supported.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Music does that. I mean, you know, I send you weird stuff and songs, and yeah, you're like, this is what I saw when I was listening to this song, and you don't think it's weird.
Yeah, well, music is so powerful. Carl Jung, the great psychologist, didn't work with music because he was so turned off by, he thought people, first of all, had no idea of the power of music, and it he actually found it insulting the way people connected with music or did not allow themselves to connect with music. And then at a certain point, he spent some time with a woman who used music as a tool for therapy, and she showed him how she worked with music, and he said if he had his work to do over again, he would incorporate music in everything that he did, because there's such a potential there and so much power for music to bring that out of you.
Well, I can hardly wait to
learn more. Greater
sense
of who you are.
That's so exciting. Because, I mean, that is my fastest feel better tool for myself. When I'm feeling down in the dumps, I just have to put on one of my favorite songs and dance to it. And I just get lost in the music, and it feels so good. And I just move that energy through. And sometimes I just stomp or cry or yell or whatever I've got to do to just move that energy through, and then it just, you feel so refreshed afterwards.
We didn't talk about that in our last video about coping mechanisms, but you know, putting on music and just sitting and letting the imagery flow through your mind, or even taking a piece of paper and drawing In my type of therapy, guided imagery and music, we always give the client a piece of paper afterwards with a circle on it. And then
I remember doing that with you. I still have
the circle
that.
Is kind of like the magic boundary that, and then inside there you can put the imagery that came up and the colors and the lines, whether they're swirling lines or jagged lines, or there's just so much that you can express through music. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like with kids too, like when I worked with, it necessarily wasn't kids, it was more early teens, for them to draw a picture of the problem, for them to draw a picture of the solution, and then to draw a picture of how to get from point A to point B.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Lately I've joined online Zoom art therapy, or they call it therapeutic art, where we get to, you know, draw out things that were sort of in our imagination. And it's so meditative. Like the 1 hour Zoom call is mostly quiet, but it kind of just provides a container for us to just be, you know, to just draw, just be. Cause, and I have in my busy mind, it comes up with like, you should be doing dishes, or you could be doing this and this, but then I just come back to, no, this is what I've chosen to do. And
yeah. And I think it makes a big difference being, even if you're quiet, even if you're not talking, being part of a group who's committed to.
Yeah. And at the end, we can choose to share. We can choose to share what it means to us or not. So.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been keeping track of this time, but I'm sure we've reached our usual 20 minutes.
So much fun to visit.
So for those who are out there and interested in experiencing hypnotherapy, I really recommend that you contact Chantel. I've had sessions with her. It's lovely, gentle. You feel so held in a session. And hopefully we've dispelled some of the misconceptions and fears around hypnotherapy work.
Yes. Well, so, thank you. Yes. Results are provided, and it's a comfortable experience. Yes. Until next time, beautiful. Keep following your heart song.